Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Cat's Paw Liability Edition, Part 2. Thank you for tuning in. On March 1st, 2011, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Staub v. Proctor Hospital. The question in this case was under what circumstances an employer may be held liable under the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Act, or USERRA, for employment discrimination based on the animus of an employee who influenced but did not actually make the final employment decision. In an opinion delivered by Justice Scalia, the court held that if a supervisor performs an act motivated by anti-military animus that is intended by the supervisor to cause an adverse employment action, and if that act is a proximate cause of the ultimate employment action, then the employer is liable under USERRA. Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Kennedy, Ginsburg, Breyer, and Sotomayor joined Justice Scalia's opinion. Justice Alito filed an opinion concurring in the judgment, which Justice Thomas joined. Justice Kagan took no part in the consideration or decision of the case. To discuss the case, we have Victoria Dorfman, who is an associate at Jones Day. Ms. Dorfman is on an amicus brief in support of the respondent. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Ms. Dorfman.
In Staub v. Proctor Hospital, the court finally reached the question of the circumstances leading an employer to be liable based on the unlawful intent of officials who caused or influenced but did not make the ultimate employment decision. The first time the court took up that issue was in 2006 in BCI Coca-Cola v. EOC, which was in the context of Title VII litigation. The parties, however, moved to dismiss before oral argument. This case arises in the context of USERRA, Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act, which states that a person who is a member of a uniformed service shall not be denied initial employment, reemployment, retention employment, promotion, or any benefit of employment by an employer on the basis of that membership. The statute defines employer to include any person or entity to whom the employer has delegated the performance of employment-related responsibilities. Courts of appeals have been divided over the proper standard for imposing liability on employers based on discriminatory intent of subordinate employees who influence but do not make the ultimate employment decision. That issue arose not only in the USERRA context, but also under Title VII and other anti-discriminatory employment statutes. This suit was filed by Vincent Staub, who, while employed at Proctor Hospital, continued to serve in the U.S. Army Reserve. Both his immediate supervisor, Mulally, and Mulally's supervisor, Kurenchuk, were hostile to his military service. Mulally issued Staub a disciplinary warning. After receiving a report from Kurenchuk that Staub had violated the corrective action subject to the disciplinary warning, Proctor's Vice President of Human Resources, Buck, reviewed Staub's personnel file and fired him. Staub filed a formal grievance contending that Mulally, hostile to his military obligations, had fabricated the allegation underlying the warning. Buck, the VP of Human Resources, nevertheless stood by her decision. Staub then filed a suit under USERRA, claiming as the basis for liability that Buck, herself without animus, was influenced by Mulally's and Kurenchuk anti-military animus. A jury found Proctor Hospital liable and awarded Staub damages. The Seventh Circuit reversed, holding that Proctor was entitled to judgment as a matter of law because the decision-maker had relied on more than Mulally's and Kurenchuk advice in making her decision. In Staub v. Proctor Hospital, the Supreme Court held that if a supervisor performs an act motivated by anti-military animus that is intended by the supervisor to cause an adverse employment action, and if that act is a proximate cause of the ultimate employment action, then the employer is liable under USERRA. This holding clarified the framework for evaluating discrimination claims hinging on animus of supervisors that were not themselves responsible for the ultimate adverse employment action. The National Chamber Litigation Center filed an amicus brief in support of Proctor Hospital on the case, and it was drafted by Jones Day. In the Supreme Court decision, writing for the Staub majority, Justice Scalia started from the premise that when Congress creates a federal tort, it adopts the background of general tort law. The court noted that intentional torts, such as the one here, generally require that the actor intend the consequences of an act, not simply an act itself. The court held that so long as the agent intends, for discriminatory reasons, that the adverse action occur, he has the scienter required to be liable under USERRA. The court emphasized that it is axiomatic under tort law that the exercise of judgment by the decision maker does not prevent the earlier agent's action, and hence the earlier agent's discriminatory animus, from being the proximate cause of the harm. The court made it clear, however, that in light of the background of tort law, to hold an employer liable, the biased supervisor action must be both the factual and proximate cause of the adverse employment action. The proximate cause requires some direct relation between the injury asserted and the injurious conduct alleged, and it excludes those links that are too remote, purely contingent, or indirect. The court, however, held that an independent investigation, which Proctor in this case claimed Buck engaged in, the Vice President of Human Resources, before terminating Staub, does not automatically indicate lack of proximate cause. Rather, the court explained, only if the employer's investigation results in an adverse action for reasons unrelated to the supervisor's original biased action, only then the employer will not be liable. And the court clarified that the burden is on the employer to make that showing. The court cautioned that the supervisor's biased report may remain a causal factor if the independent investigation takes it into account without determining that the adverse action was, apart from the supervisor's recommendation, entirely justified. The court also observed that Staub took advantage of Proctor Hospital's grievance process, but it expressed no view as to whether the hospital would have an affirmative defense if Staub did not. Similarly, relying on background principles of agency, the court limited its holding to the situations where the supervisor acts within the scope of his employment or when the supervisor acts outside of the scope of his employment, but liability would be imputed to the employer under traditional agency principles. So the court did not decide whether the employer would be liable for co-worker discriminatory acts that influenced the ultimate decision-maker. In sum, the court held that if a supervisor performs an act motivated by anti-military animus that is intended by the supervisor to cause an adverse employment action, and if that act is a proximate cause of the ultimate employment action, then the employer is liable under USERRA. Applying this framework to the facts of this case, the court held that the Seventh Circuit erred in holding that Proctor was entitled to judgment as a matter of law. The court observed that both Mulally and Karenchuk acted within the scope of their employment when they took the actions that allegedly caused Buck to fire Staub. The court also observed that their actions were motivated by hostility towards Staub's military obligations, and that those actions were causal factors underlying Buck's decision to fire Staub. Finally, the court noted that there was evidence that both Mulally and Karenchuk specifically intended to cause Staub's termination. The court ordered the Seventh Circuit to consider in the first instance whether the variance between the jury instruction given at trial and the rule the Supreme Court adopted was harmless error or should mandate a new trial. In a concurring opinion, Justice Alito, joined by Justice Thomas, explained that he would have reversed the Seventh Circuit on the basis of the statutory text, not principles of agency and tort law. Justice Alito would have held that motivating factor means that petitioner, in order to recover, was required to show the discrimination motivated that action, that is, the termination from employment. Justice Alito would not impose liability where officer with formal decision-making responsibility undertakes a reasonable investigation and finds insufficient evidence to dispute the accuracy of that information. Justice Alito believed that such an interpretation would encourage employers to establish internal grievance procedures. Justice Alito also warned that the court's holding will impose liability unfairly on employers who try to comply with the law, and it may have the perverse effect of discouraging employers from hiring applicants who are members of the reserves or National Guard. Justice Kagan did not participate in the case. The practical effect of this case is quite great. This case was of great interest and importance to employers because of the many anti-discrimination laws containing provisions similar to USERRA that govern employment relationships. Although the Supreme Court reversed the Seventh Circuit, it nonetheless adopted in large part the framework urged by the employer and its amici that, consistent with common law principles of agency and causation, both proximate and factual causation are required to hold employers liable for discriminatory acts. To be sure, the court did not accept the bright line rule that employer and amici suggested, that an independent investigation by a non-biased actor necessarily establishes lack of causation. The court did observe, however, that if the employer's investigation results in an adverse action for reasons unrelated to the supervisor's original biased action, then the employer will not be liable. It is also important to know that the court did not validate petitioners' attempts to establish a strict liability regime that would have penalized employers for any discriminatory acts that arguably have a factual connection to an adverse employment action.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.